Good morning and welcome to me. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
You may believe yourself out of harmony with life and its eternal now, but you cannot be, for you are life and exist in now. Otherwise, you would not be here. Alan Watts. Being in harmony with the universe isn't our everyday felt experience. Screwtape's incessant efforts have been successful at instilling a demand for infinite or unrhythmical change. The drive towards constant novelty makes us less receptive to enjoyment, greedy for change, unhappy without distraction, rapacious, avaricious, dissatisfied, prone to the behaviors that feed the ego, and vulnerable to the tempter's propaganda. Screwtape. We direct the fashionable outcry of each generation against those vices of which it is least in danger, and fix its approval on the virtue nearest to that vice which we're trying to make endemic. We have trained them to think of the future as a promised land which favored heroes attain, not as something which everyone reaches at the rate of 60 minutes an hour, whatever he does, whoever he is. While their minds are buzzing in the vacuum of unanswerable questions of the future, we have the better chance to slip in and bend them to the action we have decided on. So this week, let's take a vacation from the drudgery of conditioned mind and reclaim the enchantment of direct experience. Set alarms throughout the day. When the timer goes off, pay attention. Be aware of what is new. Enjoy freshness. Be aware of what is familiar. Enjoy the habitual. Be aware of what is changing. Enjoy transience. Be aware of what is unchanging. Enjoy permanence. Then record about your love of rhythm, the union of change and permanence, the mixture of novelty and familiarity. And here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? First caller? All right, here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Greta.
Hey, Greta.
Hi, good morning. What I noticed and have been noticing the last week for certain is the colors of leaves and how when I look outside, you know, I expect to see the same view out my window that I always see, and I'm not really I'm not aware of looking for something different, but it's so different. It just catches me unawares and throws me right into here.
Yes. and Greta, is it is this a result of setting alarms, or is this just something that has happened since the whole conversation has brought you into this place of noticing?
I think it goes on all the time, but I'm not remarking on it. You know, it's it's more in my it's more that I'm paying closer attention, I think. And so if I look out and without this assignment, if I look out, it's like, oh wow, that's yellow, or today is really yellow, or whatever. But now I'm like, oh, right, it's not only just yellow, it's like now, we're here. Bringing me here to take in the full yellowness of it.
Yeah, it's almost like that image of being surrounded by saran wrap, you know, and then in our normal conditioned way, it's like there's a, it's often talked about, I guess, as a veil, but we don't notice it because you can see right through it. You can see those trees out there, and you can see that they're yellow. And if anybody asked you, you would say, yeah, those trees are yellow. And yet, when that saran wrap is removed, when we're really here, when we're actually paying attention, there's a vibrancy that doesn't make it through that film.
Okay, I've lost you. It might
did
be
I leave
my
you
phone.
Speechless? Oh.
No, I think my phone's going in and out. I'm trying to get to a different spot to see if it changes.
It was very eloquent.
Saran wrap way.
Yeah. And that, to me, that's what you're describing, that I project we all experience that difference when we're actually here versus I'm here.
And I was equating it with you now unmuted, because it's, like I said, it just throws me into a I'm not just walking through the house. I'm like, whoa. You know?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And just to make the point, because I think it's an important point, that experience can be jarring. With something like this, you're unmuted. Oh, all right. But there isn't the same kind of reaction, often, I think, from ego that there is when, say, you're working on a project and somebody comes in and says something to you, or you're doing something and the phone rings or whatever, and you're pulled into the moment and ego is jolted out of its primary position of importance and really resents it.
Yeah, there's a strong reaction that's right, that takes us away. It takes us away from the present.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I understand that.
All right.
So one other yellow thing is I have had this one flower outside my window. It's like this one yellow flower in a sea of green. And like it has been so beautiful all summer long, you know, and I go talk to it, and there's just this pleasure of something that I love that I look forward to seeing. So it's the same feeling, but it's practicing it in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Oh, it does. And to me, it's the beauty and joy of life. It's realizing, it's being present for those subtleties. It's just it's everything. And what you're describing is all that we miss when we're caught up in conditioned mind in a conversation about something else or somebody else or somewhere else, right? When we're right here, that's the sweetness. That's the juice, the beauty of the whole thing.
Yeah, it's the aliveness of life that we are fortunate to be with if we drop everything.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Greta. Go happy.
Thanks, Greta.
Yes. Go happy.
Thanks, Greta. And here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is April in North Dakota.
Hey, April.
So today we are having our first snowstorm, and it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I always laugh because it always seems to happen on Halloween when all the kids have to bundle up and cover up their costumes. And so we always joke about that. But it's just beautiful.
Yes.
The other change that I am noticing in life is I'm going through perimenopause, and from day to day I feel like a different person. It's quite exciting.
Yes. Uh-huh. Say more.
It's exciting in that I've always been a very caring person, and it's not that it makes you less caring, but it makes you more tired. You have less to give to others. And so I hear someone said it's a time to really take care of yourself. So it's kind of a new season for me because I have never really done that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
Never thought that And it's a whole new season in my life that I have to take care of myself more.
Mm-hmm. That's so beautifully stated, and in so in step with the assignment, because it ties into what you just started us off with. You know, the snowstorm happens every Halloween, where the kids have to bundle up, and there's just absolute delight in it, right? Delight in the season has changed, and yet it's a season. And so to approach something like changes in the body, like perimenopause, in the same way, it's not that I've lost something or I should push myself to be the same person. There's just simply delight in the acknowledgement that there's a change in energy. And so that energy is not available for me to do all the things I used to do. And so it gets refocused on the thing that I can do, which is for me. And I love the way you say it, people, because the conditioning would say that you're uncaring, or you're indifferent, or you just can't bother anymore. But it isn't that. It's such a clarity of, it's a different season, a season of a change in the level of energy, and then I get to choose where I direct that energy. And the thing I was thinking is the conversation.
Yeah, and I had this funny thought the other day. It's kind of like I've changed from being a worker bee to a queen bee. You know, your energy level goes down, and maybe that's because this season in your life you're supposed to be more of a sage, or more of a wisdom, and not so much of busy doing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Not so much to do, but somehow to be a receiver rather than a receiver and a giver.
Yeah, it's very different. It's a totally different season than I've ever experienced.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Thank you, April. I mean, thank you for that perspective, because it isn't a perspective that we're allowed to have when things change and things are different. It's the identity that gets pushed rather than the joy of rediscovering something about you because you're different in some way.
Yeah, it's the first time I'm learning to be instead of do.
Yes, yes. Yes. Wow. Yes. Well, enjoy.
Yeah. You too. Happy Halloween.
You too, April.
Thank you, Gasho.
And here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good afternoon, or good morning, where you are. This is Bev, calling from Kentucky.
Hey, Bev.
I had the most wonderful experience the other night. I generally sleep very well, and I'm trying to follow the guidance about when I'm not sleeping what's called well. You know, just going with it. It's okay. Well, I woke up one night. It was about 3 in the morning, and I laid there, and I knew I wasn't going to go back to sleep. I knew that, you know, it just wasn't going to happen. So I thought, well, I'll listen to one of the recent, you know, year-long broadcasts. Mm-hmm. I'll just lay here and listen to it. The first caller was talking about she woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and you had a conversation. It was you two, and talking about exactly, you know, that, well, so what? You know, you just adapt, you just do something else, you get up, and it was so funny how it just at that moment, life, you know, I'm laying there thinking, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm not going to go back to sleep, let's listen to, you know, the year long. And that's exactly what you all were talking about, and exactly the same time I woke up. So I love when things like that happen, you know, that just remind me.
I do too, Bev. It's that recognition of how cared for we are. how perfectly life is orchestrated, orchestrating, or it's not that, no, it's not that. It's how perfectly it's unfolding for each one of us.
Yeah, and to get those really sweet reminders, because at the time when things don't, the content doesn't fall into place, or maybe drags on, or you wonder where's my faith. I remember those times, and I remember the stories, the songs I wrote, and they sustain me and keep me going in the droughts. You know, when I feel when I don't feel like everything's just falling into place. So I just love all of it, that it all just shows up right when I need it.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the drought, that's so interesting because I guess it's all of Christianity. I don't know. I think of it as particularly Catholic, but with the religious talking about dry spells, you know, where you're going along and suddenly it feels like, God, hello, where'd you go? Because I'm here on my own. And as you say, when we hit those places, to have as a deep and powerful part of our experience, those kinds of realizations that you're describing, as you say, that's what sustains us. Because we know, okay, well, I haven't seen the gift yet. It's not completely unfolded. That's all that's happening. I haven't been abandoned.
Yes.
Nothing has changed.
Exactly. I never feel abandoned. I just feel like, okay, you know. But then that goes back to expecting things to work out perfectly. They're going to work out how they work out if I just stick with it. They just will.
Yes.
That's what they always do.
Yes,
so
it's
lovely.
And what I get to see is, yeah, it is perfect. It's not the way I thought it was going to be, but when I really get there, you know, when it all comes together, I realize, oh, it is perfect, isn't it? Wow, I never would have thought of that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I can always look back and see how I've grown, what I've learned, how I have new tools to apply the next time something like this happens. So and again, it's just, I'm so glad that I've trained myself to turn to the practice tools when I feel at odds.
Yes.
They always get me through. Always.
Well, and Bev, I need to underline that before I let you go, okay? Because that's it. That is it exactly. We're meant to, from conditioning's perspective, we get into one of these places and we're supposed to panic. And we're supposed to look to conditioned mind, look to ego for what to do, where we're going to be given a lot of bad advice and make a lot of choices that don't go well for us. But what you just said is you've trained, when you get into one of those places, to start looking for what is a perfect practice tool to use in this situation. It makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it?
I mean, my answer always now is, well, I don't know what to do. It's like, well, you need to practice, and then it just comes to me what to do.
Pick up the recorder.
Is the answer to everything.
It's the answer to everything. So it makes it so easy, right? Because again, with conditioned mind, it wants to give us 5,000 things to choose between, and just have us scramble around. But if we know there's one answer to every problem, practice, bring awareness. Thank you, Bev.
It's like, I'm so thankful for all the concrete tools we are guided to use, because there's like so many of them that you can just go and do right then. It's not theory. Yeah. It's something you can physically do, and it's that is my lifesaver. So, gosho.
Yeah. Oh, and gosho to you. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Bev. And here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Melissa from Alaska.
Hey, Melissa.
Hey. So I had an experience of being in the moment in a different way with an activity that I do frequently. So I was I went for a run on a path that I run, you know, many, many times. And I kind of, as I've gotten older, I kind of just like plod along. And then I saw up ahead a couple walking with their two dogs. And you know, the dog were off leash and they would like sniff at something and then realize that the couple was, you know, quite far away. And then they were just run with so much energy, just like they just loved running, just so much joy. And so, I thought, well, I can run like that. So I like totally changed how I was running, but also like, you know, I didn't like sniff things, but I focused my attention on different things than I usually, you know, I just like looked around more and it was, there was just such this surge of energy and it came from my core and my heart. And I remember I have had that before in my life and I can pull that up at different times. And it just kind of, it's hard to describe it, but it would, it's like a metaphor would be like, it just adds like color to something that is drab.
Yes. Oh, I know exactly the experience. And it comes from paying attention, right? It's the three lines, pay attention, be astonished, tell about it. That place, like if you were just going along sort of in that, yes, you love to run. Yes, you love to exercise. You do it every day. It's very, very familiar. And so there is the joy and the familiarity. But if I'm also paying attention, there is a way in which it's like the previous caller, well, life informs, right? Suddenly you see this dog doing something and it reminds you of a possibility that is different from the one you're in. There's the change, right?
Right.
The premonition of change. And then you execute on it. And it releases something, this powerful
yes.
surge of life force, this delight. And it goes, as you said, from drab to colorful because dimension is added. But if I'm running with my mind, even though I enjoy running, the experience is very different than running with life.
Yes. Yes. I never thought of running with your mind, but whatever that is, it's so tamped down. And I think that there's a lot, yeah, and I think there's a lot of things in my life that I just go through the motions with now.
Yeah.
You know, some I say to myself, well, this is kind of boring. I'll just go through the motions with it.
Yeah.
But I don't have to do that.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly the gift of the dog. Because if you're with a dog, it never does that.
Yes.
It never does that. It's constant. Or if you watch a bird or anything in life that doesn't have an ego, there's a way in which we're drawn to it because of the vitality of it.
Yes. And it was funny because I was in a conference and a virtual call meeting later in the week, and there was this one person there who just was so, his energy was so amazing. He was reporting out on a lot of things, but just fun and energy and energetic and welcome. And I just like, I was so enamored with his energy. And I think that is the reflection of that energy that I also saw this week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And we're drawn to it. It's what Sherry calls lit up.
Yes, 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 yes.
That's sort of, you're plugged into the energy of life, and when somebody's passionate or someone is so engaged in what they're doing and having fun, it's sort of the energy of the child, right? And so we know what that is because we've been there.
Yes, yeah.
And as Sherry keeps reminding us in all our email class responses, it's not lost. It's just not accessed.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Well, gosh, show.
Thanks, Melissa.
The thing that I was so struck by with what Melissa was describing is that ego wants us to plod.
Mm.
Right? It wants us to run, to plod through through life in the mind.
Yeah. Mm. We're not going to do it.
Nope.
Nope.
Here's our next caller. You're not live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Todd on Gabriel Island.
Hey, Todd.
Sure. Yeah, we're in the big transition right now. All the leaves are changing and it's raining a lot more. The garden has gone to sleep. And it's all displayed beautifully outside this grand little place I have with tons of windows. And I was struck in the assignment about, I can't remember the phrasing, but it was something about the taking a vacation from the drudgery of conditioned mind, enjoying, I'll just say it, the gloriousness of direct experience. I'm just standing here looking at the garden. That is it, direct experience. It's like you said, plotting in the mind, running in the mind, or enjoying the garden in the mind is it's filtered.
It's what, Todd?
It's filtered. It's
filtered. Yes, yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's filtered. Yes. Direct experience is joyous. There's no like a love direct experience. There's nothing in between. The sensory experience.
Yes. 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 The colors are bright. The sounds are vibrant. The feelings are alive. We're here. We're lit up and turned on.
We're lit up. That sounds from the 60s. We're lit up and turned on.
Yep. Yeah, I lived through those. So they're very familiar to me, those 60s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just was noticing yesterday walking in the rain, my umbrella was really pounding down and my feet were getting quite wet. And it didn't matter because there wasn't a conversation about, oh my God, we're gonna wet feet. It was walking in the rain with an umbrella.
Yes, yes, and that image of the little kids on Halloween in the snowstorm. You know,
I've done it too, that, many times.
Yeah, and the sense, the realization that, you know, if you said to them, well, you know, it's snowing out there, it's going to be really cold and nasty, would you rather just stay in? Are you kidding? Of course I wouldn't.
You're crazy.
Open the door, right?
Yeah. Coming from northern climes, we often had snow on Halloween, often. And it's funny because, like, you'd spend all day or the week getting your costume ready and so excited to show your friends and the neighbors. And then mom's throwing this big winter coat on you. And you look at her like, I don't care. I'm going out in the snow. I don't care if I'm, you know, 5, 6 years old. I'm wearing my costume. Don't put a coat on me.
Yes, yes, yes. We have our, there's a time in life when we have our priorities right. Right. And that's what we're attempting to get back to. The content is probably going to be vastly different, but having our priorities right. I want to be here. I want to experience this. I want to be a part of it. I don't want to live in a conversation about what's wrong and what's missing. I want to be here for this. This is here. There's nothing wrong with it and there's nothing missing. It's where I want to be.
Right. It's beautifully stated. That is so true. And this practice, for me, many times guides us back to that childlike innocence.
Yes.
Like innocence. And the beginner's mind was talked about in the assignment. Mm-hmm. And I remember, well, I don't know if I remember, but I kind of can recall being that excitement of Halloween week and the excitement of school and it just, you know, like, you know, I think I was in grade one and you know, making little pumpkin, out of construction paper and putting them on the windows and I innocence and excitement.
Yes. And, you know, one of the things we've been talking about a lot in the email class is that, People will think, oh, yeah, I can remember that. But when we're paying attention, what we realize is, yeah, I'm feeling that now.
I know.
You know, again, the voices in the head might say, well, you're not feeling it. You're just remembering what it's like. But when we tune in, we realize, no, I'm feeling it right now. And it's what the previous caller was, you know, you see those dogs take off
running, and the surge of, you're running with them. There's the surge of energy in your body that is feeling that experience that they are having. Yeah. And it's right here, right now. It's not, it's nothing that happened in the past. It's right now. Yeah.
Well, funny, when I get back from work, my cat, she's on the deck. And when I come into the yard, it's quite a big yard, he comes sprinting at me, full bore. It's just, you know, just my whole, you know, if I was in condition, mind, who knows what I was doing when I walked in through the gate. But when that cat comes bearing down on me at full bore, my whole experience changes immediately.
Yes, yes, yes. Because you're feeling it, right?
Yeah.
You're feeling what he is. What he is feeling. Now we could say, well, you're projecting. Okay. Yeah, great. But I know that feeling. And that's the feeling. I love that feeling.
No kidding. Yeah. I love that feeling. And I think it's the mirroring of unconditional love I get from that cat. And I think that's why I just enjoy being with him so much. And like, he's pretty independent, so I have to seek him out sometimes. But he seeks me out from time to time, too. And I love that mirroring of unconditional love in animals for us humans.
Yes, and the fact that I'm going to bet he never plods.
No, he's not a plotter at all.
That's right.
He isn't a plotter. He's definitely, he seems very intentional in what he's in being. Let's say that.
Yeah, yeah.
His being is intentional.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you
so much,
Sherry.
Thank you, Todd. Go happy.
Thank you so much. Go happy. Gasho.
Thank you.
And you, Ashwini. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sherry. And go happy. And we have an assignment at noon today.
Very exciting. All right. Gasho.
Gasho.